Welcome to the Taskmaster podcast. It is episode 8. Hello, I am Ed Gamble. I am the host. I realise I've come in very aggressive there. I didn't mean to. I just want to get on with the show. Another brilliant episode this week. Some fantastic tasks. Tasks. Imagine that. Imagine not saying task right as the host of the Taskmaster podcast. It's one of the basic words that comes up a lot during the show. Just want to assure you, I do say tasks during the interview segment of the podcast, but I don't add a T onto the end of it. So, lots of great tasks. And it's a brilliant special guest and another great episode. I'm having such a lot of fun doing these. So, we're nearly at the end of the series. That's kind of crazy, right? Episode 8. Now, normally, at this point in a Taskmaster series, we'd be like, hey, it's episode 8. We kind of know who's going to win. It's a lap of honour for them, but it's really coming down to the wire, this one. I genuinely don't know who's going to win. It's very, very exciting. So we will be chatting to a special guest in just a moment, the wonderful Richard Osman, as you should know. It's in the title of the episode. And a lot of you have sent in questions for Richard Osman, which we will get him to answer. Just got to do the basic admin up top. Love doing the admin. That's the reason I do podcasts, is for admin and tasks. So, admin, Taskmaster is on Channel 4 at 9 p.m. on Thursdays. If you've not seen Episode 8, Series 10 of Taskmaster, do not listen to this podcast. It goes into detail. It talks about who won the tasks. It talks about who won them. It talks about who lost them. It talks about everything. Just sod off if you've not. I know that sounds aggressive, but just go away if you've not seen it. Go and watch it. Listen to the episode after that. God, I think I've not slept very well. I don't want to be too aggressive at the top of this. I love you all very much. Thank you for listening. But here's a new exciting piece of admin. I've often talked about the Taskmaster store, where you can go and buy little gifts that are Taskmaster-based, taskmasterstore.com. Well, you can now get something very, very exciting. It's a Taskmaster charity download. You can host your very own digital Taskmaster evening this festive season with the help of little Alex Horn, kindly on loan from the Taskmaster Greg Davis. Thank you very much, Greg Davis, for all of your hard work and letting us use that tiny little cornflake man, Alex Horn. All money raised for this will go to homeless charities across the UK via Homeless Link. So if you go to taskmasterstore.com, you can get a proper little digital download and you at home can host a Taskmaster evening. What a great way to spend, I'd say, Boxing Day. I'd probably do it on Boxing Day within your Christmas bubble. Go to taskmasterstore.com. Get it. You'll be doing it for a good cause. It's £10 minimum donation, but there's, you know, obviously options to bump up the donation if you're feeling flush. So thank you very much. Let's crack on with the episode. It's an absolute belter with the wonderful Richard Osman. Don't forget as well, if there's any swears that you want to avoid in Taskmaster, you can watch the family-friendly version, E4 Sundays, 6 p.m. But for now, episode 8 of the Taskmaster podcast, let's have a chat to Richard Osman. Welcome, Richard Osman, to the Taskmaster podcast. Hello.
Hello, Ed. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you very much for coming on and joining us. I think you're the earliest competitor we've had on the Taskmaster podcast.
No.
I think we've had quite a lot of sort of later series competitors, whereas you were not one of the OGs,
but certainly one of the
EGs, the early gangsters.
Yes, I was an early gangster. I would never claim to be an OG, but well, that's nice. So you're sort of like the time team of Taskmaster. You're digging down and down.
Yeah,
and you finally reach me, and beneath me there's sort of like Romesh's head sticking up.
Yeah, exactly, the bones of Widdicombe.
Yeah, you just the bones of Widdicombe, which is the title of my my new fantasy novel.
Is that your next book, is it?
Yeah, the bones of Widdicombe.
So, one of the earliest competitors we've had, Richard, and I'm going to butter you up here. Mm. I think you were the first person to hack Taskmaster.
Mm.
I think you were the person to start that trend of looking between the lines on a task, working out the logical way of doing something.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think actually you're the reason why a lot of the tasks are a lot longer in their description.
Yes.
Now.
I know. There's an awful lot more rubric now, isn't it?
Tell
you things you're not allowed to do.
Because Alex has really closed off a lot of loopholes now. Because I don't think he necessarily, I think he likes it when it happens occasionally, but if it happens every time, he hates it. So
I do is look for the loopholes. So the big loophole of mine, and it came from sheer laziness, was when I was doing a task with yoga balls. and these huge hills, which were built from the spoil from the original Wembley Stadium, by the way. But they're massive things. And there was like a yoga mat at the top of one of the hills, and it said, place these three yoga balls on the mat on the top of that hill. And the yoga balls are massive, so you can't carry them. That's the clever thing. You know, they always think them through, don't they? So they're literally thinking, how do these three people... And when you get up the top, you can't put the one ball down and then go back to get more because it's too windy. So it was a tough task. And I was thinking, I genuinely don't really want to be going up and down that hill. Thank you very much. What with my knees? And so I read the task. It said, put them on the yoga mat on the top of the hill. And I thought, well, you're just talking about the yoga mat on the top of the hill. So I went up the hill, brought the yoga mat down, and put the balls on the yoga mat that was on top of the hill, which is definitely a hack. And they had to get Susie Dent in to adjudicate as to whether I had interpreted the task correctly and whether it was worded in such a way that what I did was acceptable. And God bless Susie Dent. She very kindly said that it was acceptable. Yeah, I was, and it saved me such a lot of... I watched the other people doing the task, which is one of the joys of it when you've done something a simple way. Is then watching everyone else have to do the awful stress. Lovely seeing John Richardson run up a hill 15 times. Beautiful.
This is the way I see it. Susie Dent knows what she's talking about, and Richard Osman uses imagination. So as far as I'm concerned, he wins that task.
Do you have any particular highs and lows of your series? Let's start with the highs. Obviously, the yoga mat task sort of exemplifies your approach to Taskmaster. But do you remember any particular moments of joy where you think, I've nailed that?
I tell you, my favourite bits were always the group tasks, because then you've got a friend. And that's really, I love that. We did one where they drove us out. You know, sometimes they'll drive you out to a different location and you're like, ooh. You become like a prisoner, right? And you're like, oh, we're going out of the prison. This is nice. And we drove to Chesham, and you sit around while they're setting everything up. And you think, what am I here for? I mean, come on, what is this? And you walk into a big council chamber, and it's about 40 foot long. And at the end, there's a guy in all the mayoral robes. And it says, this is the mayor, impress the mayor of Chesham. You have 20 minutes. And you're like, which is classic Taskmaster. And I managed to write and learn a poem and juggle in that time. And I was probably people don't know me, I'm not a performer either. So if someone says, do this thing, I'm not going, oh, goodness, they've asked me to do this. Oh, what, me? Oh, I don't know. I suppose I could do something. To me, I'm like, oh, God. And there's a huge crew around you.
Yeah.
They all know what you've just read. And they're all sniggering, all of them. And they're also just... the camera's rolling and they're like looking at you going, go on then, what are you going to do? And you're like, give me a couple of minutes to think this through. And so I was delighted. I just went away, wrote the thing, did a bit of juggling and impressed the mayor of Chesham. And I thought, well, that's good, because that felt like a high pressure environment, you know, surrounded by sniggering crew members thinking, thank God I'm not having to do this task. And that was the task where John Richardson, who I think sang Desperado by the Eagles, I believe he did. And that was the one where, when we were filming in studio and it came up, John put his hand up and said, I'm going to leave the studio now until this round is over. He said, I cannot watch this. And so which meant I couldn't do that at any other stage. I would always wanted to. So John literally left the studio, came back in when it was finished, which I felt like doing a number of times, I have to say.
So, but learning the poem and doing the juggling, you felt was a high point.
Yeah.
That, I mean, within that task, interestingly, I'd say when anyone mentions the Impress the Mayor task, which often comes up as a classic Taskmaster task, the first thing that people remember is Joe Wilkinson buying 42 Colombos.
Oh, which is brilliant.
So was there a moment there where you were so proud of what you'd done, where it was about to come up, and then Joe bought 42 Colombos, and you're like, oh, I can't believe he's... whip the rug out from under me.
I genuinely couldn't care less about winning or losing any task. I care about getting out of it. I care about, have I done it? Is it okay? The thing I loved about Joe's task, so you know, he said, I went and got 42 Colombos. So I'm sort of ready to watch Joe. But yeah, I'm ready to watch the footage of Joe in the supermarket and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
They hadn't followed him to the supermarket. So Joe had literally, they sort of followed him at the start of his run. He'd obviously said, I'm going to the supermarket, and they couldn't follow him because of the cameras.
Yeah.
And so he literally had to run around Sainsbury's, buy 40 Colombos while everyone's looking at him. Because if there's a camera crew around, at least people go, oh, well, it's a TV thing, and that's, yeah. Oh, is he the guy? I know that guy. I wonder what he's, what are you buying Calippos for, Joe? But he didn't have any of that. He's literally just happened to buy them all, and buy them and then run out, and then suddenly they pick him up again. So I felt, I thought he committed himself to the cause there.
There will be someone who was working in that supermarket that day who's never seen Taskmaster and just has this memory of a dishevelled-looking man coming in and buying all the Calippos. And,
yeah, they'll just say, what's the weirdest, what's the weirdest thing that ever happened? They go, oh, the tramp the tramp and the ice lollies.
And one day they'll tune into Cats Does Countdown and yeah, see him on there and go, that's the ice lolly tramp.
He's done well for himself.
So, this series, Richard, how are we feeling about the lineup on this series?
Well, I mean, it's Daisy May Cooper versus the rest, isn't it? Which is as it should be. It's amazing. Johnny Vegas must have thought, when of course I'll do Taskmaster, but you know, I know I'm going to be the loose cannon. Yeah. You know, so my job on this series will be, I'm the one who's the loose cannon. Great, that's sort of, and he comes on and discovers he's not the loosest cannon.
Yeah.
He goes, wait a minute, I'm the second loosest cannon. This is not, it's not a position Johnny Vegas has been in very often. And it's lovely, lovely seeing old man Richard Herring working his way through the game shows of Great Britain. And I feel like he's my representative on earth, if you know what I mean. There's always like an older person, and Richard is our older person. And I didn't know Mwan particularly, and I absolutely love him. I'm gonna seek him out now at every opportunity. And the other, Catherine, who's just, again, someone who's just like a genuine, normal, professional person, just put in these situations, and it's just like, what, huh?
Yeah, you can see the pressure building on Catherine. Like, she is coming unstuck every week now. But I mean, comes very unstuck on this episode, which we'll get to. But also has another massive victory this episode, which is quite exciting. She had a genius moment last week with the marble run and has another brilliant moment later on in the episode, which is always good to see. So we're going to crack on, Richard.
Into what are we going to do? We're going to crack
tasks
on.
We're going to crack on.
I'm afraid you said crap on, so we're going to have to keep that in.
We're going to crap on with the episode proper. Also, I should say, I think the sound should be pretty good on this episode, but just to let listeners know, Richard Osman, who sits behind a laptop in Pointless pretty much, you know, five times a week on BBC One, doesn't have his own laptop at home.
I don't. Do you know what? I've never used one. And all through lockdown, people started saying, will you come and do a quiz? Will you do this? Will you? And if I'm in lockdown, I want to be locked down. So I didn't update anything. So every single thing that came in, I just said, oh, I'm afraid I don't have that. I don't write on a laptop. I don't do it. So it's, I do apologise to everyone at home. Also, my voice has a tinny metallic quality, which even on the best microphone sounds like,
So the first task is, of course, the prize task. The prize task. Did you enjoy the prize task when you did them on your series? Because what I think one of your finest moments that sticks in my mind is your prize task, where you had to bring in a picture of something that looks like you. Was that the exact description?
Yeah.
And you brought the sign from a science lab of the guy wearing lab glasses that did look remarkably like you.
It literally looks exactly like me. So even if I see it on the street on a building site or something, I genuinely, my head, you know, like when you see your name in the paper and you kind of, your brain goes, oh, that's, it looks exactly like me. I've actually got one stuck up in my kitchen. Wear eye goggles. It makes me laugh. They were always quite stressful, the prize tasks, although I rather enjoyed them. This series, they've been a little bit, they're phoning it in a little bit. Especially Daisy. But yeah, and this one, was the best thing with wings?
The best thing with wings is this week's one, yeah. And talking of phoning it in, Catherine admitted in this episode, episode 8, that initially when she was told about the prize tasks, she didn't realise that they got you points. We'll get to the points in a bit, but that was bizarre that she got 3 points for that. Johnny very proudly picked chips. I think he thought he was being very clever with that answer.
It's the best pun. Thing with the pun sometimes is the way to go, yeah.
Yeah, and what I always found quite depressing, and I did this a few times, is when you feel so proud of something and then you announce it to Greg and he's just not impressed in the slightest. It's like trying to get the attention of your dad or something. Oh, it's really depressing.
Worst. Oh, my God, I couldn't bear it. You do a task and you just think, oh, I brought in something good here. And he'll be like, well, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I thought it was good.
But Johnny was still proud of his chips. Richard brought in Histor the One-Eyed Pirate from Richard Not Judy.
Yeah.
Which, I you know, we talk. I slag off Richard a lot on this on this podcast.
Good.
He needs to let go of the past. He's on a different TV show now. Yeah. Come on, Richard.
That's the thing about Richard. And listen, I love the guy. But those shows he talks about, is it Fist of Fun? And they were okay. Listen, they did all right numbers. Richard bringing in something. I mean, come on. You know, it's like me bringing in something from Pointless. You think, who cares, mate? But listen, I get it. He's thinking that's nice. And for the four people still living who were watching that show, I guess maybe they got a thrill.
Yeah.
But it's, and listen, those tasks, you just want to get them out of the way. You never know totally. What Greg is going to like or what he's not going to like. So maybe he just thought, I could plug like an old DVD that's on sale.
Yeah,
that's how old a lot of his shows are. They're still on DVD, a lot of them.
Some of them just being released on DVD.
Yeah, exactly.
So at least he went quite route one. It was nice to see someone actually have something with wings. Him and Catherine went pretty route one with the wings, because Daisy went with a panty liner.
Yes, which I thought was quite good in a way, because that sort of plays on where we are with gender politics.
Yes.
And a weaker man than Greg might have felt that he needed to mark that up a little bit more than he did.
Yeah,
I thought fair play to Greg to be. He was very secure in his place in culture to mark it where it should have been marked.
He does not feel that sort of pressure, Greg. If she deliberately went out of her way to say, if you don't mark it high, you're a sexist pig. And if anything, I think that cost her points.
That's the thing with Greg. I want some. We had to. What was it to buy him something with £10 or something like that?
Right.
And what I did, I put two quite substantial, quite high risk bets on the darts, which raised, I think, £230. And I then sent the £230 to a charity I support called Child's Eye in Uganda. And the kids in Uganda sent him a little message saying, thank you, Taskmaster, for this money. And so I did that. And I didn't, even Greg had to kind of go, oh, God, I'm going to have to give you points for that, aren't I?
Yeah.
It's the only time I cracked him. But even he, with this sort of literally sort of like screen full of orphans saying thank you, he was kind of, oh, okay, maybe.
I think that's the best way to do it, having them thank him. I think you're buttering him up there. He feels like he's done something.
It's the ego thing, right? You've got to appeal to the ego.
Yeah. I think what Daisy would have done in this scenario, her angle would have been, if you don't give me 5 points, I'm going to take money away from the orphans.
Of course she would have done. Or she would have, you know what? Daisy's thing would have been, get me the best thing you can with £10. She'd have just given him £10. She'd have wrapped up the £10.
So there you go. And Mwan, finally, this was my favourite. I thought this should have been the 5 points, because he did a painting, a beautiful painting of perfect fried chicken, which I got a bit confused when I was watching the show, because he said it was too close to perfect chicken, so they had to change a letter. I thought he meant within the show. So he was doing a painting of a perfect fried chicken and they had to change the letter for rights reasons to show it on the show. I Googled it. It's a real chicken shop.
It's really called Perfect Fried Chicken.
It's he really made called more of Perfect that,
I
Fried Chicken.
I thought that was the best one by Mar. He did the same pun Johnny did.
Yes.
But he kind of, you know, that is the best thing with wings. What a chicken shop is it? I mean, the chips, you're sort of one step removed from a pun there.
Yeah.
It's an unadjacent pun, whereas he absolutely nailed the pun and then did a lovely painting.
Yeah, no, I think the painting should have been 5 points. So it was 5 points to Richard. I think Greg felt sorry for him. I think if you don't give Richard the 5 points for the Histor puppet, then you're basically saying everything you've done up until this point is worthless.
That's why I'd have given him 1 point.
Just to let him know.
Yeah, who'd have been? I'd have put it below a wasp. No, I would have gone 1 point Richard. No, 1 point Johnny. 2 points Richard. 3 points Catherine. 4 points Daisy. And I'd have given 5 points to Mwan. Definitely. If I was doing it, I would have done. This is the lovely thing. Whenever you watch Taskmaster now, is you just think, oh, how would I do this? But you don't actually have to do it. Which is like
this. Yes.
I love watching it so much because I get the joy of knowing how it's made and the joy of all the people. And the joy of thinking, oh, how would I do that? But I know I don't have to sit in a little house in Chiswick and actually do it.
But I love that. I I watch it and think, how would I do that? But then I also think, I'd love to do that every day for the rest of my life.
Oh, so you're like a former footballer who's now a pundit, who's literally just thinking, oh, I just want to be back out on the pitch.
Yeah, that's exactly what this podcast is.
If I was like if I was like Michael Owen or someone sitting in the studio, I'd be thinking, oh, thank God. I still get to hang out at the stadium. That's really nice. I get to hang out with all of my mates, but I don't actually have to run up and down the pitch.
You didn't get worried about being injured. You wouldn't have run up and down the pitch on your series anyway. You would have found a way of not doing it.
Yeah, but psychologically, I ran up and down the pitch. You know, it took it out of me. It took too much out of me, man. and so to me, it's lovely. I left everything out on the pitch, I think, and now I'm happy just to watch. Yeah, I would have, if I had to come up with the best thing with wings, I'd have rung up Sir Paul McCartney. And I've just got him in the studio. Just brought him with me. That's what I would have done.
I mean, even a video from Sir Paul would surely get a 5 points.
I'd have brought him with me. I'd have rung him up. I'd have said, he'd have gone, is that Richard from Pointless? I go, yep, that's it. And he goes, I really like your new book. Thursday Medical, but I really like it. And I'd say, would you come on Taskmaster? He goes, Tasky? A lot of Tasky?
Yeah, he calls it Tasky, yeah.
He would have come along. And you know what? But Greg would have given it 3 points. Literally, Paul McCartney would have been there. He still would have given more to the crow.
Okay, so task one proper. Fill this cup so it overfloweth. Mm. The cup must remain atop the cup pole at all times. Only liquid must touch the red green. Fastest wins.
Yeah.
Now, I think the tasks are getting stranger and more specific with every passing episode. Cup on the end of a stick. You've got to fill the cup up until it overfloweth.
Yeah.
And the red-green makes another appearance, which I think definitely made an appearance in your series.
Oh, it made a beautiful appearance in my series where we had to get a potato into a hole in the middle of the red-green without going on the green. And we all did it various ways. And Joe literally just picked up the potato, threw it into the middle of the hole, first time, not even, no editing, went in, and he just started running around, just screaming and yelling at how excited, and they played that last. And we were all, and honestly, the whole audience kind of on their feet at this point, and he's in the studio, hands up, and we're all cheering him. And then Alex goes, oh, sorry, can we just take one more look at that, Joe? And he literally puts just the first bit of his toe just on the red. And the whole audience, honestly, it was brutal. It was like VAR at the end of a World Cup final. The whole place just, a poor Joe, I don't think he's ever got over it.
No, because he was so, I mean, he was devastated because he was like he was the underdog. He presents as the underdog in most situations, deliberately, I'd say. But that moment of victory to have it offered to him and then snatched away.
Honestly,
so brutal.
To me, it was like watching a caterpillar turn into a butterfly and then turn back into a caterpillar. It was so... I don't think it was... I mean, although I'm thinking that's another point for me. So a bit of me was happy
because
I'm very competitive. But I'm also a human being and I could see, the pain, you know?
Well, that's widely held up as one of the finest Taskmaster moments ever, and one that gets people into the show on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So if you enjoyed that moment, there were five of that moment in this task because everyone was disqualified.
Everybody disqualified. I mean, you've got to be so careful with that stuff. You know, read the rules. No, it was kind of lovely. And it was interesting when Daisy got disqualified. And do you think they really hadn't spotted that?
No,
hadn't spotted it because normally they would just show it, and they did say, let's wait to the end of the round. So someone was, I think, cutting that as we were watching the rest of the round.
Now, I'd bow to your experience on this, Richard, because you know more about the process of making television. But here's what I thought had happened is that they had planned to show the entire package at the end with everyone breaking the rules. And Mwan suddenly found this competitive streak from somewhere and actually preempted that. And that's why they had to say, hold off on that, essentially.
That's possible. That is very possible, actually. Yeah, I will give you that, because it's not like them to miss something like that. Thank you for bowing to me for my TV knowledge and then proving me wrong. That's good. That's quite right.
I'm not sure if this has happened before where everyone's disqualified.
I couldn't think of... It must have done, surely, at some point, because some of the tasks, that have kind of an impossibility built into them.
Yeah.
But, I couldn't do... To me, it felt like this was one that could be grifted when I was watching.
Yeah,
and they very rarely let you grift stuff anymore. Because when I was listening to the wording of the thing, it felt like, because the pole bent over, so it was pretty easy to reach.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like you could pull the pole out.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And once it just did fill the cup on the top of the pole.
Yeah, it said the cup must remain atop the cup pole at all times. So yeah, you could take the whole pole out. I guess
take the pole out, put it under the tap.
Yeah,
overflow it. You're back in your dressing room for biscuits within 30 seconds. That's the joy sometimes on those tasks, when, because sometimes the tasks take a really long time, do they not? But sometimes when you're sitting there, especially getting towards the end of the day, and a task will come up, and you work out a way to do it within like 10 seconds, and then you go, okay, I'm going to head back to my dressing room, and it's like, it's kind of lovely. You just think, good, that's that one done.
We've got to talk about this. Everyone was disqualified. Fine. Yeah. Right. I think they were right to be disqualified. But the highlight of the entire task, and for me, the episode, is Johnny falling over.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's the most I've laughed out loud all series, and I've laughed a lot this series.
Yeah.
And it beats into second the last time Johnny fell over, which was off the ladder a few episodes ago.
Which that one, to me, I worried about that because I didn't like the angle.
Yeah.
I worried about joints and butt. Yeah, that I was thinking, you know, there comes an age that Johnny and I are both at where a fall can be, you know, you can have serious consequences.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a fall, wasn't it?
He just went. I've never seen anyone fall over out of excitement before, because he was running to get to turn the hose on, and his legs just caught up under him like a little baby deer. It was incredible. Yeah. So absolutely amazing, Johnny falling over. I think Greg wanted to show that he is a harsh taskmaster sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's why he disqualified everyone. I think if he was in a better mood, or it was a Greg from a previous series, he might have decided to judge the task on a different metric. So you could almost look at this task and go, okay, everyone touched the red green, but who did it in the stupidest way? They get 1 point. And that would have been Richard, who, when they cut to him and he just walked straight onto it.
Oh, don't. But then he also said, that's the other thing I wish I'd remembered now when I was doing the series, is, as I say, in my wanting to do things as quickly as possible, if you do walk on and you might as well just go, there's no point in me doing this task now, because I know you're just going to edit whatever nonsense I've just done, and then at the end just go, oh, but look, then you remember right at the beginning you stepped onto the red green, so I'm so sorry. And just there would have been the odd task where I might have just deliberately taken a fall and just kind of gone, oh no, I accidentally touched the mug. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm going to go home.
That's annoying. What's the time? When's my car? Is it 4:45?
Should we just judge it on who did the best time?
I mean, I'm never in the history of the whole show have I felt contempt for all of them. It's a sad day for everyone here.
So task two, this seemed like a nightmare to me. I would have panicked so much during this task. Learn your lines. You have 10 minutes to prepare for each of your parts and one take to pull it off. Everyone got given a couple of parts. Apart from Richard, who got given all the parts. Now, it's lovely to see tasks where one person is hung out to dry come back, because they've been away for a while. I think they might have stopped doing them to keep it as a surprise, really, because I don't think it really happened in our series. So Richard had to learn all of the parts, but he did it. He was up to it.
Yeah, I would have liked... See, that to me, learning lines, I'd be very happy. I like learning lines. I'd have honestly gone, oh, yes, lovely, I would enjoy doing that. I like setting myself the challenge, and I like doing accents. I can't do them, but I like to try. So I think I would have enjoyed that task.
Richard, of course, we're here now, so it would be a shame if we... Of course, there was a Scottish, an Australian, a Welsh and a Geordie.
Yeah.
Could we have a little blast of each?
Okay.
Don't tell me which is which.
Whose coat is that jacket?
A very lovely Welsh.
Thank you. G'day, mate. I've just been down the waterhole with Jason Donovan and various other famous Australians.
Well, you gave me a few clues within
what
that.
What do you mean?
So the watering hole, Jason Donovan and saying Australian gave me a clue that it's exactly what a Geordie would say.
Oh, you got it. You absolutely got it. Now for my Australian. I've been to the wrestling. I've just watched Kendo Nagasaki and Mick McManus.
Now, why have you gone straight for wrestling and Kendo Nagasaki with the Geordie accent?
Because it's fun to say Mick McManus and Kendo Nagasaki. It's a fun thing to say in Geordie.
You are right.
Yeah. I can't do Scottish, really. What was it? Was it Detective Scottish? I forget. With the handcuffs.
Something about very exciting, I've got my handcuffs, yeah. Something like that.
I'm going to arrest you. No, hold on, that's Northern Irish. How do Scottish people speak? You know, when you go to Edinburgh, every year I go to Edinburgh, and within 3 days I'm speaking Scottish, then I can do it.
Yeah.
You have to, they talk like that in Scotland. Handcuffs.
That's very lilting.
I'd like to arrest you.
No, you've gone Irish again.
No, I've gone Irish again, Got the old ferry, haven't I?
It was certainly... That was better than Mawan's effort of the accents, I think, who threw himself into it, but...
Yeah, he went Brummy. He went Brummy early, didn't he?
Yes. I think that the key to this task was just enthusiasm. Yeah. Catherine missed that, basically.
I admired it, though. I admired when she just decided... I liked it when she just said, I can't learn lines because I genuinely am learning lines, so I'm going to improv. I thought it gave it some flavour. I wouldn't have given her any points. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's good sometimes to just say, I'm not going to play this game. Okay, I absolutely recognise what the game is. Okay, but because of other things in my life, okay, this is going to be too hard for me. So I will give you some content, but it's not going to be the content that you were hoping for.
See, I think if you've signed up to play the game, you should play the game. And I don't think that's how... I'm not a professional actor.
No way.
No, I'm not. I know my performance.
You are a member of the royal family, right?
Yeah. Yes, I am. Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
But line learning, as far as I know, you don't learn lines, and then if you learn one other line for something else, it pushes one out from the other project.
Oh, I disagree with you.
The human brain is constantly expanding, right?
I could not. Well, no, because then we'd all be getting cleverer. There's certainly you get to a certain age, perhaps you haven't reached it yet, where every new thing you learn, you forget something else.
Right, is it one in, one out?
So I can remember every FA Cup winner from the 70s and 80s and what have you. But if I was to try and remember the FA Cup winner from last year, I would forget what an isosceles triangle is. It's like you can't... you can't keep it all in. Like, okay. I'd be the cleverest person in the world. I've learned so much on Pointless. I've learned so many facts over 12 years. I mean, so many facts. But none of it stays in. None of it does. You can't... But yeah, you can't overlook... If she's learning lines... You have a certain way of doing it. And if you're giving her new lines to learn, no.
But then I think she shouldn't be prioritising a performance at the Royal Court over Taskmaster.
Well, that's a different question. Listen, yeah. I question the role of theatre in our society as much as you do. So, but given she has done that, given presumably she's contracted to do that, for good or for ill, I think she has to take that seriously.
I know that Catherine, fine, you know, she was being professional, she needs to learn something else, but she still got 2 points, and Mawan also got 2 points, which doesn't seem fair, because Mawan learned his lines, and his accent might not have been spot on, but he did try.
I would agree with that. I think Mawan... Listen, if you can't... Doing accents is no sign of anything other than being able to do accents. Attempting to do accents was actually the task.
Yes, exactly. You know,
putting yourself into it wholeheartedly was the task, not how good is your Australian accent. Yeah. And so I think that he absolutely should have got more points than her. Again, I'm doing is defending her right to make that choice.
Yeah.
But equally, I would defend the right then of the taskmaster to say, fine, but there's 1 point.
Yes, okay? 1 point, so, or 0 points or minus points.
I wouldn't give minus. I think, listen, that's not the game we're in.
Okay. Sure, okay.
I know to you, game ain't based on sympathy. I know that, but to me it is. But yeah, I mean, 1 point, or the fact that the two of them got the same points, I think was an outrage. In the same way that Mawan was, I think, very badly dealt with in the prize task.
Yes.
I think all the way through this, it's been difficult.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a couple of very good episodes, so I think maybe Greg was just... teaching him a lesson for doing well.
Well, that's what they do, isn't it? They don't want someone to get too far ahead. They know what they're doing. It's a maths puzzle, isn't it, for those boys? It's like a maths jigsaw they're putting together.
So Richard, I think, got a deserved 5 points. But here's what I'd say. I enjoyed watching it very much, the fact that he was hung out to dry and had to learn all of the parts. And I enjoyed watching him use that to his advantage and actually come out on top. If I was in that lineup, I would have been kicking off that Richard was the only one who got the opportunity to do that. Because if you don't get the opportunity to learn all the lines, you're never going to get the opportunity to get the full 5 points.
Yes, I agree. Although I think in the company that he was keeping, I'm not entirely sure, possibly Johnny might have welcomed the opportunity.
Yeah,
I don't think any of them particularly would have welcomed the opportunity. I think Richard has a thing that I also would have had, which is, oh, you're asking me to learn something. Okay, I'll do that. I
can
learn all the different parts. Oh, yes, I'll learn all the different parts. Whereas the others might not have embraced that quite so much. And you could see all the way through that also he took it, wasn't taking it seriously, but he was thinking, yeah, you've asked me to learn all of these, do them in the accents, and that is what I'm going to do. He wasn't playing it for comedy, apart from when he's behind the hedge. You know, the rest of it, he's just going, you've set me a challenge, which I, you know what Richard's like, he loves a challenge. And he's thinking, now I want to complete the challenge that you've set me.
Absolutely.
So he wasn't playing it for comedy. He was literally thinking, I'm going to do all the lines in the voices and do the thing that you asked me to do. God bless him.
Struth! Who let in that great galah?
Good to see you, officer. Thank you for coming.
Of course I came. You asked me. I'm here. Why doesn't everyone chill out? Achoo!
Bless you.
And now it's time to hear from our BFF bonus fact finder, Alex Horn.
Oh, hi guys, it's me, little Alex Horn, your new bonus fact finder. I have exciting news because today's bonus fact is the biggest of the series because today I reveal the true ending of the Smart Stake, which was, of course, the script task where the contestants had to memorise and then perform the script to the best of their abilities. And the script involved a murder and ended on this cliffhanger. Alex, that's me, said, "That's good. Except it's not good for everyone, because I can now reveal that the murderer is..." And since that moment, you've all been wondering who the murderer is. Well, I can tell you, it is not Nicky, the excitable Scottish junior police officer who had a cold. Police officers aren't allowed to murder. It's also not the boss, the ruthless business person from South Wales. Ruthless, yes. Murderous, no. Is it the mysterious and menacing Geordie Doctor? No! Dr. Buckley didn't do it. He was just inspired by someone I met recently. So it's either Parker, the former American football player in the bush, or Sam, the lonely Australian fish person. Guys, disappointingly, it's not Parker. Yes, it's Sam, and the clues were all there in the script. First of all, he burst out of the caravan, only just awake, because he'd been murdering all night. His first line was, "Where is everyone?" Because he'd killed lots of them. "I don't feel okay," he says. "No, no, 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 no." Well, who would after such a spree? He says, "I don't want a hug from me, Alex Horn," so clearly a sociopath. He says, "You call this galah," about the police person, because he was scared of the authority figures. He said, "I forgot you lived here with me. How are you doing, darling?" Clearly a made-up alibi. He says that's illegal about hiding because he didn't know the law. He also says, and this is probably the crucial information that you've all been waiting for, to the boss, he says, "Whoa, don't speak to us like that." And if the play had carried on, he would have murdered the boss as well. So he's a double killer. Minimum. All right, everyone, I hope you enjoyed a bonus fact. Goodbye.
So, task three, drink one full tablespoon of coconut water. If you use the same coconut water extraction method as another contestant, you will be disqualified.
Yeah.
Fastest wins. Now, this simultaneously feels like an old school task, and also the added element of not doing the same as another task, another taskee. Happened in series 7 as well, I think.
We didn't have that in our series. They hadn't thought of that idea.
Yes, but it really plays on the mind, doesn't it? You think you want to do the obvious thing because everyone else will think that's too obvious, or do you do the weirdest thing?
Yeah, which is very, very clever, of course. But yeah, but then in the end, I felt that Richard and Johnny both used the same tool, but they said they're different extraction techniques. I thought that was a fudge.
It's about I guess it's about the definition of extraction, right? So,
as the show so often is.
Another one of those.
Yeah.
So they're using the same tool, but I guess that cracks the coconut, that opens the coconut. Is that how you're extracting it?
Yeah, I guess so. I would have done what Catherine did and gone straight to the fridge.
I was going to say, you're the only person that I actually buy that off, that you would have done that, I think. Because again, it's it's actually the laziest way of doing it.
But also, I would have seen that there weren't that many tools.
Yeah. Right?
And certainly not that many tools that would actually open the coconut. Mm-hmm. Right. And if the task is use the one that other people are not using, as a producer, I'd be thinking, you've got to have 10 things here for that to work at all. And you don't, you've got 5 things here, of which 2 do the job. Yeah. So either I can crack this coconut, you know, or there's coconut water somewhere else in the house.
Yeah.
You know, I would have been straight in, I think.
It's very, very well thought through. I think
I wouldn't have won the point though, would I? Because Catherine would have done the same thing.
Catherine would have done the same. I might have known there was coconut water in the fridge because I'm quite nosy when it comes to fridges. So when I went in the morning to the Taskmaster house, I normally had a quick peek in the fridge to see what snacks there were and stuff.
But I would always look around everywhere just in case they'd left something for another task.
Yeah.
But they're quite good with not. They're quite good with actually only putting things in there when they need to.
Daisy and Mawan got no points because they both used the hammer and the spoon. Even though Mawan, he tried to protest that he used a plastic bag, but that doesn't feel like an extraction method, does it? That's a collection method as opposed to an extraction
method. Extraction method, of course.
Yes.
And then that's fair enough. I mean, I thought it was all over the place, the scoring, to be honest, on that one. I was glad when Catherine did the decent thing and went to the kitchen, because I think, finally, some clarity.
Yeah.
You know, which is what I felt was missing.
Literally a refresher.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, perfect. Well done. Yeah,
It's a palate cleanser before the studio task.
Palate cleanser, exactly that.
So what was your extraction technique?
Well, my extraction method was I went to the fridge.
All right, let's see. Thank you, Catherine.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
So the studio task, we'll talk briefly about studio tasks on your series because I understand there's still a controversy that hangs thick in the air was it catching rabbits in a hat?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That Catherine
I
Ryan...
I say as if I've forgotten.
Alex has told me in the past that both you and John Richardson are still smarting from that.
Well, listen, Ed, I'm a format guy, right? I don't pretend to be anything else. Never have, never will. Right? Although I'm also an author. But I'm a format guy, right? That's my telly thing. Listen, if I do a task, tell me what the points are, you know?
Sure.
And I'll work out what to do. That's absolutely fine. So we know the scoring in Taskmaster, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, right? Occasionally zero. Occasionally, you know, people will get equal, but that's where we are. That's the parameters within which we work. And this is towards the end of the series. And so, you know, it's all pretty close at the top of the leaderboard. And yeah. And then suddenly we're doing this rabbit task and it's catching rabbits in a hat. And it's possible to catch 20 rabbits.
Yeah.
You know, you could catch 13 rabbits or you catch 20, which Catherine did. And so it's at the end of that task. And so, Catherine, you get 20 points. And you're like, whoa, time out. You're like, what? Me and John both going, what? Because I could see how well she's doing. You think, no, great, I'll do... All right, I'm going to get 3 points out of this, four points out of this. I'll lose 2 points to Catherine. That's fine. I've got that in hand. That's me and John both thinking. And suddenly, she's got 7 points on us. And you know, she won the series, quite rightly, in my opinion. So that it was the right winner. So that was good news.
Yeah.
But the rug was taken from under us. So afterwards, of course, me with a TV producer's hat on for comic effect, and John genuinely quite outraged at the unfairness of it. Poor Andy Devonshire and Andy Cartwright were just like at the after-show thing, just going, no, but literally, there's more points available in that one game that we weren't really focusing on than in the entire previous episode. So that skews things, doesn't it, Andy and Andy? Is that the way we do scoring now?
I love them just trying to have a drink and wind down after another successful episode of Taskmaster.
I felt so sorry for them. It was absolutely brilliant. But I honestly, to this day, Andy Devonshire, and I bump into him every now and again because he's around this neck of the woods, and I bow to no one in my admiration for Andy as a producer. Absolutely brilliant. Taskmaster is so wonderful. I still see in his eyes a slight worry and a slight kind of, is it a guilt? It's something.
Doesn't want to chat about it again.
Listen, he chats about it a lot for someone who doesn't want to, because, you know, every conversation I have with him is about it. I can see him thinking, is it okay now? Are we good? And we are good. Of course we're good.
This studio task, stare at your opponent without blinking. You must both be pulling the face that the taskmaster chooses. Yeah. First person to look away or do the wrong expression loses. Each team member gets 2 points for each team victory. So again, we're, you know, quite heavily weighted with the points on this one. And again, they were very clear with how many points goes to each team member, because they don't want another Osmond Richardson situation.
That's all I asked for.
Yeah.
Clarity. I don't mind how they're scoring it. Just if I knew I could have got 30 points, I would have caught 30 rabbits. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course you would have done.
Oh, I could have been catching rabbits all day long. I'd still be catching rabbits now if you'd told me. I can't remember if it was catching rabbits. It was something.
I think it was catching rabbits in hats. Well, yeah, someone will tell us if we were wrong.
Yeah.
So this is a team studio task, but they switched the teams around, which also happened in Series 9 with the drawing task, probably my most talked about moment, the one I get tweeted about the most, getting very angry with David Baddiel. Here.
I think you held off for a very long time with David. Everybody who knows David eventually gets very angry with him. There comes a point where you finally go, okay, this is, we're going to have to finally do this now.
I think you held off for a really long time. Well, the thing is, when you see David Baddiel being incompetent and it doesn't affect your points, it's very funny. But as soon as it started to cross over with my game, then I was absolutely livid.
You see?
Yeah.
But isn't that the thing, like me and John with the rabbits, is they put you in this world where you genuinely care.
Yeah.
You know, and you genuinely, that's the wonderful thing about it, is the points are important. You know, it's wonderful. So listen, I'm on your side there.
Daisy was so happy to not be paired with Richard. I mean, their team dynamic is awful.
They're very much the Charles and Diana in terms of the chemistry between the two of them.
Yeah, she was so happy to be with Catherine Parker Bowles, to extend the analogy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, not bad.
Wow, really good.
And Alex has even started, and he'll rarely do this, he's back referencing things that happened earlier in the series with the hippo drawing with Daisy and Richard, which was, I mean, it nearly came to physical blows.
Yeah. I assume they're not invited around for each other's Christmas.
No, I don't think so.
Or if they are, I know what they're not playing.
I'm sure they got on fine afterwards, but in the heat of the moment, I think Daisy nearly physically attacked him on numerous occasions. So the totals for this episode, it was a victory for Richard after his bottom place last week. So quite the come up there. Joint second for Johnny and Catherine. Mwan in second bottom with 10 points. And Daisy, a rare bottom place with 7 points, which now puts Richard out in front in the series, but only 1 point ahead of Daisy, who is in turn only 2 points ahead of Johnny.
Super close, right, at the top?
It's super close. Episode 8, it's 1 point in it, and, you know, not many points in it in the top 3 at all. Do you have any predictions, Richard?
Yeah, it feels like Herring's going to win it to me.
Do you think?
It feels like, yeah. I mean, listen, I could be absolutely wrong about that. I think there's just something about him that wants it so much. So, listen, either Richard wins it, I think it's Richard or Daisy. I think Johnny might. I think he might be artificially too high in the league table. So I think it's Johnny and Daisy. And I love the fact of how annoyed Richard would be if Daisy wins it, because she does it in such a laissez-faire way, and he puts his heart and soul into everything. So it would delight me to see Daisy win, of course, and see Richard crushed. But it feels like maybe he'll win it by a couple of points. I don't know, but it depends. Listen, depends if Andy Devonshire's got some ridiculous point scoring final game in the last episode. Then Mwan could win it. You know, it could be anyone's game. But it feels like, I would love Daisy to win it. It feels like Richard maybe he's got an extra gear he can go into.
Yeah, I feel you're right, he wants it. But I also think, Daisy wants it as well, but she's approached it in such a way that if she doesn't get it, she can go, well, I didn't want it all along.
Like asking somebody out in a way that you've got plausible deniability if they say no. That's exactly what she's doing.
Whereas if Richard loses, he is going to look absolutely shameful.
Heart on sleeve, he's going to be crying in his bedroom for weeks.
So we've got a few emails from Taskmaster Podcast listeners, Richard. Some lovely questions from them. Hi, Ed and Richard. I was wondering if being a TV producer affected how you approach preparing for Taskmaster. Do you think it gave you an advantage in guessing any of the formats for the tasks, particularly as being on an early series meant nobody was as familiar with the show yet? That's from Amber in Leicester.
Yeah, one genuinely 100%. The way I, every single task, I had two questions in mind, which is, what are they trying to get us to do? And what would it be funny for us to do? And both of those with the TV producer's head on. But yeah, 100% thinking, just knowing how they put the task together was how I tried to approach every single thing. Like, what are they getting at? What is the shortcut that they're hoping that you miss? Yeah. And also, is what's the way that I can undermine all the incredible hard work they put into this by outthinking them? So, oh my God, yeah, I did the whole thing. I can't do it as a comedian or a performer because I'm not one. So I could only do it as a TV producer. So that's essentially what I did.
Dear Richard, please defend your choice of "She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain" as a nursery rhyme. It is not. and would love to hear the poem again that impressed the mayor, performed while juggling. Amazing. Two of my top 10 list all time.
That's very kind.
That's from Laurie. Laurie is the number one fan in Kansas of all things Taskmaster.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow, because I wasn't able to get over to that competition this year, but I usually watch it, the number one fan in, of Taskmaster. Because, yes, she got knocked out in the semi-finals the year before, Laurie.
Yes.
And she won it this year. Great. I wasn't able to get over because of the pandemic.
Yeah. It's amazing they still went ahead with it.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Yeah, it is odd. Now, I remembered the poem for the 4 minutes I had to remember it. I don't remember it anymore.
Well, of course, because you've learned something else now, so it's been pushed out.
There you go. But I remember what I simply said to the mayor, which are the towns which Chesham competes with? You know, which, you know, like every town, like where I grew up, Hayward's Heath, Burgess Hill was the big competitive town. He gave me a list of like five towns that they competed with. So the poem was essentially dissing all the other towns. So I can't remember any of it at all. I can't remember how to juggle. That I remember. And "She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain," is that a nursery rhyme or not? Now, I think you could... So she'll be wearing pink pyjamas. Listen, it comes as a country song, but all nursery rhymes are folk songs. Originally passed down through the oral tradition. Don't smirk when I say oral tradition. It's just perfectly valid musicology.
That's why you said phrase. It. No, come on.
Yeah.
you knew what you were doing.
Oh, yeah, I guess I did. And so I would say, of course, it can be a nursery rhyme because you can sing it in, it's a rhyme and you can sing it in a nursery, you know, and it's a traditional arrangement of a traditional folk song.
So your definition of a nursery rhyme is it rhymes and you could sing it at a nursery.
You are very aware that after that I put in some other provisos. You know that. Don't just edit this to make me say it rhymes and you sing it in a nursery and suddenly you've got someone singing "God Save the Queen" by the
Cut
Sex
to
Pistols.
You in a nursery singing there was a young woman from Nantucket.
Exactly. Which is a nursery rhyme.
Round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain. Coming round the mountain. Coming round the mountain when she comes.
Final email. Hi, Ed and Richard. Love the show and podcast. Thank you. I found out about the series when I stumbled upon the potato throw task and got immediately hooked and binged the whole run during lockdown. So my question is, which full task would you use from your own series or otherwise to get someone to watch the show? That's from Nico in Argentina.
Well, that's the easy one for me because that was on my series, The Potato Throw Task. Mm. And I think it had everything, which is simplicity of rules, different people doing it in different ways, and then a beautiful twist at the end. I think the task that made everyone sit up and take notice of Taskmaster, in any format, you need a little thing. You need a little hook where everyone goes, oh, I see what it is. And in the very first series, and they put it on all the trailers, and they still have it on trailers now, which was paint a horse while sitting on a horse.
Yes.
And that's the task where everyone goes, oh, I see. So it's like ridiculous task, but it is sort of doable, but ridiculous and silly, and there's comedians. And that to me is the I don't know what Andy would say about it, but that to me is the task where everyone immediately just went, I understand what this show is. I get exactly what you're talking about. And it was like an entry for everybody. So that's the task I would tell people about. And I say, maybe watch the potato throwing task.
Yeah. I think the simple ones are probably best because... I don't know, we had quite a lot of quite involved ones on our series. Certainly my favourite one to watch back, and I would show this to someone who'd not seen it before, was the final task of our whole series, which was seven tasks in one.
Yeah, which was amazing.
which is just an incredible piece of work and so well put together.
Oh,
and
it's just fantastic.
Deceptively simple, but everything fits together so nicely, and just the frustration from everyone while doing it sort of sums it up.
It's beautiful, but it's not entry level, is it? You have to really appreciate how brilliant that is. You have to have seen everything that comes before.
Absolutely. Richard, thank you very much for coming on the podcast. As always, I will now ask you to rate your experience on the Taskmaster podcast between 1 and 5 points.
One being terrible and 5 being good.
Yes.
I'm going to give you 5 points.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's
you're
going to
give me
pleasure.
5 points. You're going to give your experience 5 points.
Well, you are my experience, essentially.
Yes,
it's nice talking about the show because I love it. You know, it's very dear to my heart. But you've guided me through it perfectly. I'll tell you what I'll do, actually. I don't know if you've got any like rabbits where you are or a hat. Why don't I give you 50 points? Do you know what I mean? Why don't you just like as many rabbits as you got? Why don't I give you 50 points?
Thank you. I will take that 50 points. It really pushes the average up after Paul Chaudhry gave it 1. It's nice to have it.
You surprised me. Yeah.
It's nice to have it back up in the 40s.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Ed. Thanks, everyone.
Well, there we go. What another wonderful episode of the Taskmaster podcast. Thank you very much, Richard, for coming in. Let's talk now about next week's episode. Next week's episode will be the wonderful Katie Wicks. Yes, Katie Wicks, another Season 9 alumni, my chum Katie Wicks. We'll be talking about our series, we'll be talking about Taskmaster in general, and we will be talking about Episode 9, Series 10 of Taskmaster on Channel 4, Thursday, 9 p.m, family-friendly version, Sunday, 6 p.m, E4. Don't forget to go on to taskmasterstore.com for some exciting gifts, including the Taskmaster at Home charity video. You can host your own evening of Taskmaster at home with your own video assistant. It's £10 minimum donation, and it will be giving to homeless charities across the UK via homeless link. More information, homeless.org.uk, but go on to taskmasterstore.com. You can donate and you can get a brilliant Taskmaster video game to go with it. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next week for Episode 9 with the wonderful Katie Wicks. Goodbye.
One fine day to Chesham Fair, I ventured forth to meet the mayor. Strong of jaw and fine of feature, the King of Chesham, my new friend Peter. Peter's on our list of crushes in this town of boots and town of brushes. Foes he has many, but he'll just kick 'em. From Aylesbury, Chartridge, and High Wycombe, of Amersham, we don't give two fucks. Chesham, third biggest town in bucks.
So, well done.